Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Throwing wide open is Sam Brailo. Are you serious? Touchdown, Atlanta. Dirk Cutter goes and gets tricky with it.
802, welcome back into the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Mikhail sitting in for John today, along with Hugh Douglas, Abe Gordon, Oren Romain, Tanitra. The whole crew is with you. Happy Friday to everybody as we transition to a little Falcons talk, a little Matt Ryan here. And Hugh, I want to get your thoughts on this because, you know, I've always been one of these guys in – I guess the modern era of sports that I don't get overly caught up in contract prices because of, like, I don't fall for sticker shock. Like, you walk into a car dealership nowadays and you see a Jeep and it's $42,000. I mean, I don't think you should get outraged over it. I think that's just the cost of things in 2020. So when we see Patrick Mahomes basically back up the Brinks truck and pull off one of the greatest heists of all time, but yet here's Matt making 150. How do we evaluate where we think Matt's contract is compared to the king of the game today?
Let me tell you the biggest difference between that and what Matt got is. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes got that Super Bowl ring, and then yep. He got the big payday. And so people in their minds, that is justified. You know, because you talk about his age and what he's done in the NFL in a short period of time. So that's justified. Matt Ryan, that's a different story. You know, and in the last couple of weeks, there's been, you know, pundits, you know, on the big shows that have, you know, basically taken their aim at Matt Ryan and talked about what he wasn't, a whole lot of that, mm-hmm. and what he deserves and you know, people settling for this or whatever you want to say about Matt Ryan. But when you talk about the way the NFL is structured, that's just how things go. You know, it's not so much about what you did. That's the way the market is. And the unfortunate thing for, well, I'm not going to say it's unfortunate because it's not. It was a windfall for Matt. But Matt benefited from the deal that, Kirk Cousins. I couldn't remember. I had a brain fart right there. Kirk Cousins. He benefited from the deal that Kirk Cousins got. That's how the NFL goes. Now, the next quarterback to get paid is probably not going to get as many years as a Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to get a nice little chunk of change. That's just the way the ball bounces in the NFL. That's how it goes. You, regardless of what a person has done, it's structured in a way so that you're going to get much more money as we go through this thing. That's why the NFL – the owners and everything, they wanted to put a cap on the salary on the rookies coming in because they felt that these prices for these rookies was getting out of hand. Who was the last one? Was it Stafford?
It was Cam.
Was he the last one to get the big deal before they changed the rules?
I believe so, yeah.
It was something like that. But you know, it was Stafford. Orin was telling me it was Stafford. But anyway, okay. It was one of those things where they changed it so that these rookies wouldn't get these crazy deals anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's basically how it goes. When you're in the NFL, man, regardless of how much success you've had, if you're the quarterback and you got great stats or any other position, you're in line to get paid. That's why Grady Jarrett benefited from what Aaron Donald got and Fletcher Cox.
Yep.
You know, because Grady Jarrett went to his first Pro Bowl, was it last year? But he was on the trajectory. He was on the same trajectory as those other guys. And that's how it works in the NFL.
But if you look at it, right, Matt Ryan is making $30 million per year. He would be the ninth highest paid quarterback in the NFL behind Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Big Ben Rodgers, Goff, Cousins, Wentz, and Prescott. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. I don't think many people would debate that. Russell Wilson is elite. He's in the prime of his career. Aaron Rodgers, I still think, has some good years left. I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Matt Ryan. But at this point, I mean, Roethlisberger's got a better resume than Matt Ryan, but I don't think Ben at this point is a better quarterback. And I certainly don't think Goff, Cousins, Wentz, and Prescott are better than Matt Ryan. So I think right now, Matt Ryan at $30 million per year is the ninth highest paid quarterback. When you're talking about, you know, on the verge of eclipsing John Elway for 10th all-time in yards, I think it's a steal.
It really is. But, you know, you'll have something that'll tell you that you know, with Matt Ryan and what he's been in the league, that you're settling for mediocrity. And the fact that, you know, you'll have some that'll say, well, you know, Matt doesn't come up in big games. I don't know what to say to those people, man, because it's obvious to me that you're in, like, the way that you feel about Matt Ryan is entrenched in something else, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of the comments that people have made about him. And listen, you can feel the way that you feel about Matt Ryan, but when you make it personal, that kind of takes your opinion out of it. You know what I mean? Because now it's personal. Because in my opinion, and I have nothing, I have nothing against Matt Ryan. I just see his play on the field and what he's been in the NFL. Matt Ryan's an elite quarterback. Regardless, Matt Ryan's an elite quarterback. You can sit there and talk about he hasn't come up in clutch situations or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who has comparable numbers to guys that are already in the Hall of Fame. And then you know what? You'll sit there and say, well, oh, you know, he has Julio Jones. There's a lot of other quarterbacks out there that have really good receivers that aren't putting up the same kind of numbers that Matt Ryan has put up in his career. So there's that. It all depends. Like, you have to be honest about what it is you don't like about Matt Ryan. That's how I look at it. If you got all these excuses about why you don't think Matt Ryan is this, that, or the third, that means you just don't like the man for whatever reason, because you're not looking at the numbers.
It is the Morning Show with John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nick in for John today. And Matt Ryan, 10th in yards all time. He's going to pass John Elway very early this season. He's 11th all time in touchdowns. And at age 35, I mean, I think we're looking at it, you know, Matt Ryan has not really fallen off that much from his MVP year compared to Cam, who fell off drastically from his MVP year. And we look at a day and age now where quarterbacks, because of nutrition and fitness and the way the game is officiated, you know, Brady and Breeze and Rivers, these guys are playing to 38, 39, 40, early 40s, 42, 43. I mean, who's to say Matt doesn't have 3 to 5 really good years left in him? And at that rate, he's going to be a lock for Canton.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing I was about to say. I think he's already in that discussion for Canton. I think that a Super Bowl definitely solidifies that. I think that's what we're talking about, because it's not about every quarterback in the Hall of Fame doesn't have a Super Bowl.
Right.
They've gotten into the Hall of Fame for what they've accomplished on the field, regardless of what people felt about them or anything like that. That's why they're out there. So Matt Ryan, to me, is going to be in that conversation when it's all said and done. He's in that conversation already, because to me it's like this. If you're telling me that Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Fame quarterback right now for everything that he's accomplished, then Matt Ryan is too.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, and I'm glad you brought up the rings, because I've always found this interesting, right? Like, football, we always say, oh, it's the ultimate team game. It's the ultimate team sport. Yet when it comes to football and it comes to the quarterback, we always give too much blame or too much credit to the quarterback, because it's probably the most important position in all of sports. And you look at the Hall of Fame. Jim Kelly went to 4 Super Bowls. Never
didn't win
won
one
them.
Of them.
Dan Marino.
Didn't win one of them. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Doesn't have one. Yet Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer do. I mean, nobody's going to sit there and make a logical case for those guys over the two guys I mentioned that don't have one.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. And it's unfortunate that when you're considered – if you're considered an elite quarterback, you have to have that hardware. That's why, you know, for Peyton Manning, it was so important for him to get it because he knew. I mean, Peyton Manning was probably still been a Hall of Famer, but
right.
You know what? With those two rings that he has, ain't no way on God's green earth you could deny.
No, you're right. And like, I would actually make the case in Matt Ryan's defense, just to compare him against one of his peers that he played with for probably close to a decade. I mean, Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. But you'll never convince me that Eli Manning's body of work, top to bottom, is better than Matt Ryan from the standpoint of who would I rather have under center, or in this case, in the shotgun. Like, I think Matt Ryan is a better quarterback. He just doesn't have those moments like Eli did, where Eli was, you know, slightly above average and then got hot at the right time.
And you know what the funny thing about that conversation? There's going to be an argument for Eli Manning being a Hall of Fame.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
Do I think he's going in? Do I think Eli's going to the Hall of Fame? Is that what you're asking me?
I mean, I think he's going to get in, but if it was my personal vote, I think
he's going to go. Listen, you and Nick Foles are the only three people on this planet that have put a blemish on Tom Brady's record. Like, yep. Come on, man. Right. And Eli did it twice. Come on. Come on now. Fix it. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it.
It's just to me, like, I've always said, like, when I evaluate Hall of Fame, the question is, was I watching greatness? And when I watched Eli Manning, I don't think I was watching greatness. Like, when I watch Matt Ryan, I can't say that I'm always watching greatness.
But you're watching a damn good quarterback.
But I'm watching a pretty damn good quarterback.
Yeah, but dude, Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice. Eli Manning's the only man on this planet that can say he beat Tom Brady twice.
Hugh, there's just things in life you can't explain.
And he did it twice, though.
Can we dust off the guy from Unsolved Mysteries? Is he still around? Hey, and bring him back to investigate?
Eli Manning is Tom Brady kryptonite, like, basically.
Yep. Oh, you're totally right. Well, it is the morning show with John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app. Nick in for John today. Coming up later this hour, we've got Sweet Tea, as she will bring all the stories that we may have missed. But when we come back, we will stay with quarterbacks, because the way we evaluate them and what we thought we knew has totally gone out the window. We're back after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game.
Hey, 22, welcome back into the morning show. It's John and Hugh, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Nick Kale in for John. Today, we got Sweet Tea coming up in just about 20 minutes. But let's continue the conversation, Hugh, because we were talking about Matt Ryan and how we evaluate that contract with Patrick Mahomes after Patty Mahomes cashed in big time. And I'm just kind of thinking out loud over the last couple of days with the way we evaluate quarterbacks and what we thought we knew and what we thought was needed for a quarterback to be successful, because for so many years, and it's a time-tested method, you know, you needed a quarterback 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 235 pounds, big arm. But now, man, you look around the league, from Mahomes to Wilson to Jackson to Watson to Murray, they all have different skill sets. It's not just size and an arm.
Yeah. And I think that is attributed to the fact that the quarterback position has evolved just like every other position. You think about it like this. Back in, like, what, say, the 80s, the early 90s, most of the defensive line were like 6'3", 6'4". They're like 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the offensive line. They were bigger guys. And as the game evolved and the game went to more of a passing game, you saw offensive linemen. They got smaller. They got leaner. They got more in shape. They started looking like the defensive linemen of old. And then you look at the defensive line. Now they look like linebackers. The yep. linebackers don't look like linebackers like they used to. I remember a couple of years ago talking to Wes Durham, and he pointed out something to me that has been that has held true since that day we talked about it. And he was talking about the linebacker position and looking at how much it's evolved and how different they look. And he said, "Hugh, they don't look like the Jeremiah Trotters that you play with." Nope. Jeremiah Trotter was a big physical linebacker. They're not built like that anymore. Deion Jones is nowhere near built the way that Jeremiah Trotter was built. And yet he's still an effective player. He's still an effective player at that position, because the game has evolved to the point where you have to be you know, able to adapt. You have to be able to run with these receivers. You have to be able to do more in coverage. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with the quarterback position. There are so many guys out there now that are just built for speed defensively that your quarterback has to be mobile. He has to be able to throw on the run, and he has to be able to be durable enough to if he is toting the rock, that he won't get hurt. And he has to also be able to deliver it when he has to, deliver the pass.
Yeah, I mean, the days of LeVon Kirkland playing linebacker in the NFL.
Nah, they gone, man.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want run stuffers. They want sideline to sideline guys that can play all three downs. And looking at these quarterbacks, like Patty Mahomes, I would say cannon of an arm. Russell Wilson, savvy. He's a leader. Lamar Jackson, absolutely deadly with his legs. Kyler Murray extends plays. I mean, the kid's 5'9", 170, and had a good year with Kingsbury. And then you go to a guy like Deshaun, and, I mean, he's been, I would say, a top seven, top eight quarterback in the league in his first couple of years if he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. It's just no longer – it almost feels like a changing of the guard because Brady and Breeze and Roethlisberger and Rivers are in the twilight of their career. I don't think there's one specific way where you can win anymore at that position or at any other philosophies within the league for that matter.
No, and then not only that, you talk about what it used to be to play that position. You know, you're talking about quarterbacks back in the day used to have to sit behind the quarterback for a while. Right. Remember when here in Atlanta, Michael Vick was sitting behind Chris Chandler?
Yep.
Remember that? And then he had to be ushered in because he had to pick up the offense and all that other stuff. You got young quarterbacks now where offense coordinators, they're building their offense around the talent that they have at that position because they know it puts stress on the defense, number one. And why not implement some RPO, some stuff that the young man is familiar with in order to get him on the field quicker? You know, mm-hmm. You talk about Ron Rivera when he had Cam Newton in Carolina and how he evolved that offense and got him to the Super Bowl with the style of play that Cam Newton was comfortable with. That's what you have to do nowadays. Quarterback position is not a position where you have the luxury anymore as a head coach to sit back and watch that young man develop. If he can play it, if he has athleticism, you need to figure out a way to adapt your offense to get him on the field immediately.
Yeah, and always, I think you should, when you're a coach, you should always be trying to do or build around what that player does best. I remember specifically in Philadelphia when Chip Kelly replaced Andy Reid, everybody kept saying, "Hey, Chip, are you going to run the Marcus Mariota Oregon offense?" And he would always say, "Well, tell me who my personnel is. If it's Nick Foles, if it's Mark Sanchez, if it's Mike Vick, tell me what player I have, and then I'll tell you what system I'm going to run. I'm not going to run RPOs with Nick Foles because he's slow as molasses."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. You have to cater your offense to the person that is running the offense, that's out there on the field, that's comfortable with the offense that you're trying to run. That's why when you look at what Coach Belichick has done by getting Cam Newton, it's not going to look like that old New England Patriots offense that you saw Tom Brady run. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be something that's going to cater to Cam's skill set, to cater to his arm, and it's going to be something that's going to be a lot different than what you saw them run before when Tom Brady was there.
So let's play off of that for a second with Cam, because I find that interesting. You know, Brady, when they would get out of their base package and run it a ton, you know, they would spread you out, and they'd work Edelman underneath and Amendola and Wes Welker. I mean, obviously they were a little bit different when they had Gronk and Hernandez, and they were certainly different when they had Randy Moss, but it was a lot of underneath, quick throws, timing stuff. Does that play into Cam's strength? Because as much as you want to tailor things around what Cam does well, I don't feel like the Patriots have receivers that can separate vertically down the field.
See, this is where it gets interesting, because now if I'm a defensive coordinator and knowing what Cam can do, there has to be a spy or robber or somebody like that. I don't know what they call it nowadays, a joker, whatever they want to call it. That's going to have to spy Cam and make sure that Cam doesn't beat you with his legs. So with the receiving core that they have, yes, you're going to have a legit threat. But I think initially coming into this season, you know, Mohamed Sanu is a good receiver. Mohamed mm-hmm. Sanu is still there. I think that he has enough ability. He can stretch the field a little bit. I think Cam's going to be the X factor because he can beat you with his legs, and that's going to put a lot more stress on a defense, and it's going to allow your receivers, who probably are not that fast, to get open a little bit more.
You know, the other thing that is, I guess, really on an individual basis, and it varies player to player, But when you've been in the league for so long, and Cam's going on, I think, year 10, year 11 in the league, how difficult is it to make the adjustments that you need to make when you're so accustomed to doing something in a system? Like, if Matt Ryan were to become a free agent and go elsewhere and have to learn a new playbook and a new system, at this juncture of his career, I mean, is he set up to fail? Is Cam Newton set up to fail in New England?
No, because, I think that what New England has done by having this hype video or whatever you want to call it of Cam Newton coming there, they're trying to move on from the Tom Brady era.
Yeah.
So it would behoove you to do everything that you possibly can within your power to put Cam in a situation that's going to not only make him successful, but make you look like a genius. So mm-hmm. I think that with that being said, and the fact that we're sitting here talking about Cam Newton potentially being the starter or is going to be the starter in New England, that Coach Belichick is going to have to, when he gets Cam up there, adapt everything that he possibly can to Cam's mm-hmm. skill set and go out there and win football games. Because that's what it's about winning football games and moving on from Tom Brady and still having those Patriots fans believing in that program and believing that they still can get to the AFC Championship game and win another Super Bowl.
It is the Morning Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Mikhail in for John Fricke alongside Hugh Douglas this morning. Sweet Tea will come up in about 12 minutes. The last thing, too, with some of these quarterbacks, you know, I feel like we are seeing, and we've seen it over the years of the last 10 to 15 years, where we saw elements of the college game come to the pro game. We saw the Wildcat. You know, we saw Kaepernick with Greg Roman in San Francisco doing some pistol stuff. I think Nevada was one of the first college teams to use the pistol. But now we see a significant portion of the philosophical stuff from Saturday spilling over to Sunday. And I think that's why the learning curve has become shorter. That's why guys can start from day one as rookies. And that's why a lot of guys that played either in an air raid or a tempo offense in college are having success now, because it's not just drop back, seven-step play action and read.
Yeah, and it's a lot of the terminology that coaches probably changed so that kid is familiar with. Mm-hmm. You know, when you know, coaches do their homework on these young kids, and they figure out what terminology they're comfortable with, and they adjust it accordingly. Because now everybody has to adjust to what this kid is doing. And you talk about a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who a lot of people didn't have a lot of faith in. Mm-hmm. Big Red comes and say, "I got him." Puts him in an offense that's comfortable for him. And what, 3-4 years later, he's still in his rookie contract. He's getting a new deal, and he's a Super Bowl champion. He's the king. It's good to be the king right now.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, you bring up Patrick Mahomes. Think about this. How difficult is it for you to live the rest of your life knowing you as the Chicago Bears general manager drafted Mitch Trubisky, and you passed on Patrick Mahomes?
I would say this. You can't cry over spilled milk. You made a decision back then because you felt that he was the better quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got to live with that, even though Nick Foles is going to be the starting quarterback for the Chicago Bears. You got to live with that decision. You have to.
No, I mean, I know. It's just, guy, I know it's revisionist history, and hindsight 2020 is always a thing. But
yeah, but you're still a little – he probably still a little sick. I mean, I'm not, you know, he's still a little sick.
I mean, Trubisky only played 1 year at North Carolina, and you felt, yep, let's go get Mitch, and we're going to trade up to get him.
Yeah, but who's to say that Patrick Mahomes would be the same quarterback with the head coach that they have there in Chicago right
now? Very true. No, very true.
You know, I mean, I think the fit is just as important. You know, I had a chance to talk to Big Red about quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You have to know the guy, you have to know the position, and you have to make the quarterback comfortable like he did with Donovan.
All right, that'll do it for our NFL conversation for now. When we come back, Sweet Tea brings the tea to Nutribatisse with all the stories that we may have missed. It's next on The Morning Show. John and Hugh, Nick in for John. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, The Morning Show rolling on here on a Friday with John and Hugh. Nick Kale in for John Fricke today. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app. You heard the intro. You heard the laugh. Tanitra Batiste is with us. Good morning, Tanitra.
Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well. Pleasure to finally work with you.
I know, right? Like, literally, this is the first time we've worked together. So, Hugh and I, we will tell you how this goes.
All right.
I'm going to give you guys a story. I want to hear your thoughts, but I'm going to give you my thoughts as well, right?
Good. I like
yeah,
it.
Basically, that's how it goes. Yeah, that's sweet tea in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. So hopefully it'll be some things that maybe you haven't heard or maybe you saw in passing, but we want to download on. Got four quick ones for you today. Now, this is the first one, Nick. This was interesting to me. Now, I've never been in this situation, so I'm only kind of projecting myself into it. But I do know that yesterday, of course, United had media availability. And one of the things Miles Robinson said that I thought was pretty impressive, and a lot of people got it, you know, I don't want to say went viral, but it definitely got a lot of likes on social media, was the fact that he said to the bubble in Orlando, he's bringing his PS4, a laptop for online classes, some books, and a good attitude. And I thought, wow, you know, that's very Miles Robinson of him, but very impressive, you know, to think like that, because you do have to have a positive attitude when one thing after another keeps happening, including Nashville SC bowing out on yesterday. So, you know, the positive attitude, yes. Thought it was cool he's taking online classes. That's a good look as well. I like the PS4 because you've got to kind of break up the monotony, especially if you can't really kind of move outside of the bubble. So that's a good place, right, Nick? Right, Hugh, to bring your PS4, right?
Well, yeah, I'm a big gamer. And to be totally honest, since I've been here, I really don't go a whole lot of places since I don't have to go to work. Well, go into the studio every day. So I've been gaming a lot. As a matter of fact, I know Abe was playing a game that I'm familiar with, but he's playing with it on PC. We were trying to figure out the other day how we can start playing on the same system, but it's impossible. But yeah, I think it is. You got to make the most of these moments, and you know you have to adapt, because if you don't, you know, your mental health could be in jeopardy. It can definitely be in jeopardy. So you got to do something that's going to break up the monotony for you a little bit. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. Good attitude. You got the video game for entertainment, the laptop to stay connected to society, yes. You know, the books for reading. All that's good. I gave up the Xbox One about 3 or 4 years ago. But
What's wrong with you? You're sick? You need some assistance?
You know what it is? Like, I had my twins in 2014, and I was able to still game and play Madden on Xbox Live those two football seasons of 14 and 15. But once my girls stopped taking naps and I just couldn't put them down for 2 hours, my wife looked at me and she goes, you know that's going away, right? Like, you're not getting Madden 16. I'm like, all right.
Well, yeah, Nick, I mean, that does put a hamper on things. Yep. That definitely does that.
Exactly. And, Nick, that is a perfect segue into the second part of this story and my question to you, especially as a father of twins. I know Hugh has a little one as well. Now, where I don't think the PS4 or any type of gaming system should be is in a hospital. So Aaron Jones using his PS4 to pass the time while his wife was in labor, not a good look. I'm not with that. But yeah, he brought his PS4 to the hospital to keep him company his wife was expecting.
Oh. I have no comment for that one, because to be honest, that would be me. I'm working on a better me, Tanitra, but you want me to be honest in this.
He's working, Nick. As long as there's a work in progress, I'm okay.
Bro, I couldn't even take my cell phone in with me.
My
in-laws were like, you better be 100% committed and focused. And I'm thinking like, wait a second, I'm not the one delivering the baby here.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is me playing my PlayStation or Xbox have to do with me being committed? She's pregnant, isn't she? I was committed. I was committed to her. Oh, that came out wrong, didn't it?
Don't go there.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it like that.
The other thing I need to tell you is I am his moral compass in this segment.
ladies that listen to the show, I didn't mean it like that. But it's like, what other commitment do I need to make? I mean, it's you're going to be in labor for a long time. Like, I've been in labor. Labor's not like you just go in and come out. It's not like you. It's not. So it's going to be a while.
Hugh, you've gone through labor?
I've been in the room.
Right, you've been
while
in the
my
space
wife
of...
has gone through labor. And it's a long time.
It really is. But I will say this, and then I'll move on to a cool story Abe and I were just blown away by. But, you know, if that's the case, if you want to get a pass, then she needs to get a pass when the kids wake up, the babies wake up in the middle of the night or every 2 hours or what have you. So as long as there's, like, you know, some give and take.
I totally agree with that. I have no problem with that. I totally agree.
True story, just to wrap this up. And I won't give any details because it's too graphic, but my wife had twins. She's in labor. they bring me in for the process, and I'm sitting behind her, behind the head of her bed, and I look down and see things I didn't want to see.
Right.
Bro, I'm telling you, I got so pale and so white, I was going to pass out. They were like, Mr. Kale, do you need an apple juice?
Right.
Hey, Nick, it changed your perspective on everything. I've been to that. I've been to one of those, too. It changed your perspective.
That level set it for me, Nick. That really did. It level set things for me. I love it. Okay, so, you know, you think about, I guess, I don't want to say the Lord. Well, you know, the saying is the Lord give it, the Lord take it away. And in this case, the governing body give it and the governing body take it away. So from Noah Lyles, he's the guy who, yeah, one day he may break Usain Bolt's record, but that day wasn't yesterday. He thought he had come in under 19 seconds in his 200-meter race, but he actually registered 18.9, and he registered 18.90 seconds, but it wasn't for 200 meters. It was for 185 meters. So what's happening right now is the eight participants in a particular race, they are, you know, racing from wherever. They may be in, he was, I think, in Florida. One guy was in Europe, somebody was in Cali, if you will. And so they're responsible, and whoever's at the track with them is responsible for making sure that the measurements are correct. Mm-hmm. And so minutes after he'd been crowned as, quote unquote, the fastest man under, you know, with 200 meters, he found out, nah, it didn't really happen, man. You had 185 meters.
Oh, you know what? You know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at my guy that roped it off, that taped it off.
Right.
Yeah, that's your fault, brother. And you know what? We got to rethink our friendship because you had me celebrating out of all this other stuff. I would be just that hot. I would be real hot behind that, definitely.
Right, and that's exactly what he said. He said, you cannot play with my emotions like this. And then I got to tell you guys about something that is happening up top. And the reason I wanted to mention it is because it's just that kind of story that won't go away. And it's this whole cardboard fan bandwagon. The Mets have now jumped on it because, but in their case, you have to pledge as a season ticket holder to come back to Citi Field in 2021, you have to wear your Mets colors or your Mets gear, and you have to order your cutout by July 17th so that it gets there for opening day this year. No social media handles or hashtags on your cutouts. No offensive or negative references to any MLB team, statements or endorsements of political candidates. So they've got some stipulations, but the biggest stipulation is that in order for you to basically get your cutout, if you will, they're offering this to season ticket holders who choose to renew their package for 2021. So I guess they think the cardboard cutout is like an incentive.
Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. Like, if you want to come back, you gotta go ahead and get the cardboard cutout, and then, you know, we'll figure it out as we go. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
It sounds like something that it sounds like a typical New York Met thing.
It's so Metsy.
Yeah, Metsy. That's a good way to put it. You just Metsy. You're just so Metsy.
It's just what they do. And, you know, but it's going to be interesting because I am kind of following all of these little stories where we're hearing about these cardboard cutouts and kind of how it's going to play out. I know there was back and forth for MLS on whether or not they wanted, you know, fan noise kind of pumped in, or was the music good enough, or was sort of players being mic'd up, was that good enough? So it's going to be interesting for those sports that actually do continue or get started in the fall, like how are they going to manage to simulate sort of that aspect of the real game action, if you will. And then this one, to wrap us up, I thought this was such a cute story. The 2-year-old colt named after, and it's a positive story because right now, you know, we seem to be on sort of a downward curve for coronavirus, but this one is an up curve. The 2-year-old colt named after Dr. Anthony Fauci won by one length as a heavy favorite against rivals at Keeneland on Thursday. Of course, that colt's named for the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And Fauci finished second in his career debut at Belmont Park back on the 3rd, but he comes back big on yesterday. So Fauci wins his first race.
All right, Fauci.
All right. It's his first victory in the last couple of months.
Yeah. First victory, second race, first win. So shout out to him. I wish we could get that win for what Fauci's telling us as it relates to coronavirus, though, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially when it comes to football and sports in general.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tanitra. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It was a pleasure. Sweet tea. Bringing all the stories that we may have missed. And by the way, with that 1890 and Mark Adeloff at 185 meters versus 200, I'm telling you right now, Hugh, I would have fired that guy. That's the equivalent in golf of your caddy giving you what you think is a 7-iron, and he gives you the 8-iron, and you're off by 10 yards with your shot.
You know what, and I don't condone violence, but there might be a face punch involved in that as well. There might be a little bit of a face punch.
All right. That's it for Sweet Tea. We'll come back and kick off the final hour of the show with the big story of the day. Stay there. It is The Morning Show. John and Hugh, Nick in for John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, always download the radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.